always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Where this goes from here, I don't see any market change coming. But I do think
not
that
solely because of this story. Again, like, it's an interesting story. I think it's like illustrative of like a very fucked up like family dynamic. But like, I don't think that there's anything in here where it's going to be like even the LeBron stuff. You know, again, it's like, I know Jeannie just put out the statement being like, you know, not denying any of it, but being like, LeBron does deserve credit, you know, and just trying to basically say like, my siblings are trying to take me down by using LeBron, and that sucks for him, and I empathize with him because they're also trying to take me down, you know, yeah, type of thing, like, you know, taking no responsibility, not denying anything, but being like, oh, I'm sorry that happened though, that does suck. And like, but even this stuff there, you know, like, that's not gonna, like, that's not gonna get her out of here. You know, I mean, Rich Paul's pivoting to podcasting. So, like, you know, they don't even have to care about the agent relationship necessarily.
Yeah. The problem with Jeannie's statement, and again, I'll quote it, quote, "It's really not right, given all the great things LeBron has done for the Lakers, that he is to be pulled into my family drama. To say that it wasn't appreciated is just not true and completely unfair to him." It, I guess, is like his...
And like, contributions.
Yeah, contributions.
And
to
everything
the team.
He went through, I guess.
I guess. But like, the thing that...
All the great things he did?
The thing that proves that statement to be empty is the Lakers' treatment over the last 3 years of LeBron and AD, where AD wanted a center. Nah, you're good. You play center. LeBron wanted the Lakers to go out and get Kyrie, didn't go out and get Kyrie. LeBron wanted the Lakers to you know, use draft capital to improve the team around him and AD. They drafted Jalen Huccifino and Dalton Knecht. But they were like, well, but we'll draft Bronny. And you're gonna get Bronny on the team and you're gonna like it. And it's just like, I'm sorry.
We will hold your son hostage.
Yeah. Right. Well, now
you're gonna be so happy about it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you arrive at this summer where LeBron has this player option that he could opt out of. And if that relationship
just an expiring, it's not even a player option, is it?
No. This last summer, most.
Oh, yeah,
summer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He had a player option. And when, you know, it came time for LeBron to make a decision on that, the Lakers didn't even approach the negotiating table with him. They like, the two sides didn't talk at all. And I'm sorry, like, you could tell me that, like, you know, that all of this stuff is made up and it's fake drama and all that. If that relationship was in a better place, you guys would have approached the negotiating table together and figured out a way that, you know, maybe LeBron gets an extra year but takes a little bit less so that the Lakers could have a better roster around him. But the relationship had been so soured at that point that they couldn't even talk. They didn't even talk. So, yeah, it's a nice statement, and shouts to Amick for getting it. But I just think it's kind of empty given the team's actions toward LeBron up until as recently as
like,
this summer.
We appreciated it, not enough to like do anything for you. But you know, we did. It was like, thanks.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, let's dive into the super comments here. And we have a few of them. So here is this one.
This is why I look like this, everybody. This is why I'm losing my mind.
Whoops.
What prompted that? I forget what prompted the Joker makeup.
I think it was something
like,
Darvin Ham was doing.
What worked up that night?
No, I think it was Darvin Ham related. Like he wouldn't. Somebody he wouldn't play, I think, is what it kind of came
bench
down
Torian
to.
Torian Prince, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, was so it the starting Cam Reddish over Austin Reeves thing?
Maybe.
Cam Reddish just needs another couple of years. He's going to get it together. MVP candidate. loading.
All right, so let's dive on in. Think McFly writes, as the once great Count Dooku said, I've been looking forward to this. I hope it's been okay. It's been a little jumbled. I don't know.
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't know that we need to call Count Dooku great. I think there's not, like, that's not really a morally gray character there.
The leader of the Pretty Seven Army.
I mean, I appreciate the money, but like Genie with LeBron, like, I'm not actually going to do anything for you.
Wasn't Count Dooku? He was at one point a Jedi, right? So that could be what Think McFly is referring to. Like, he was at
one
point.
Yeah, okay, great. Fair enough. Yeah.
So
he was once a great Jedi, and then he just became so disillusioned with the Order that he betrayed everything that they stood for, turned to the dark side, and tried to murder all of them.
Can I also say, having seen what the Jedi did and how annoying that Order became, I started rooting for the Empire. I hate Yoda. Those idiots. God.
We're not having a conversation about whether the Empire was good or not in today, in this current world.
Hashtag Palpatine was right. All right. Rama Aviation writes, I love your content. It's so blunt. I agree with almost everything, minus the Empire thing, I would imagine. I know I'm a LeBron fan, but can you imagine he joined Philly? Where the hell would LA be? Well, that's the thing, is that, like, it's just so annoying that we even have to address the notion that LeBron did or did not save this franchise. Harrison, remember we were doing Locked On Lakers
what
together.
What has this franchise done outside of LeBron since Jerry passed that you're like, I think they would have gotten it together and it all would have been fine.
Right. Well, like, this is how they've screwed up the LeBron era. Could you imagine how they would have screwed up this era without LeBron?
Well, Anthony, they would have built a championship contender around Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and Josh Hart.
Yeah, all of whom got better the moment they left the Lakers.
Yeah. And also, like, and also Julius Randle made two first teams since Rob Pelinka was like, yeah, no, we're good. We'll renounce his rights.
Yeah, got nothing for him. Yeah, it's crazy.
Traded Zubats for Mike Muscala, although that one's more magic. Like, I don't really put that one on Rob.
But the thing that, like, just drives me nuts is, like, when an organization is functioning at its highest levels, when something is going well or with well-run organizations, the success is the carrot at, you know, that you're chasing. It's not the credit. The credit just comes. That's what the money is for.
Are they the first non-dynasty to get the disease of me?
Yeah, like, you know, they won one championship and they're like, no, 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 I'm responsible.
And Genie's like, what? I should get more credit for this.
Yeah. How dare you want to hire Tyronn Lue or Tyronn
Lue? Didn't they see that I hired Magic and then he quit embarrassingly? And then also, like, our head coaching search was a disaster, but then our backup plan worked out. So, like, I don't know. I think.
And then we didn't give him an extension either because he was getting too much credit for it.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if at any point Frank Vogel got too much credit. I don't know that anybody was ever like, oh man, Frank Vogel really just, like, turns
the
ship around.
If there's one thing incompetent people don't like, it's competence. And Frank Vogel was very competent.
Very competent will probably go on the Frank Vogel gravestone, you know? Like,
that's the name of his book.
Yeah.
Frank Vogel,
very competent. 7 strategies to become a very competent at your job.
I'd read it. No, I wouldn't. John McCallion, been following you guys since Lakers Outsiders. Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I still have that in my bookmark bar just for, like, sentimental value.
The first bit of reporting I ever did was for Lakers Outsiders when I reported that Magic Johnson wasn't coming to work.
So well, you were like, I have to keep doing this.
Just keep on going. People hated me for that Magic Johnson report. R. Jones, LAL. Have you heard any reaction from within the Lakers? That's a good question. I did a little bit of asking around, and for the most part, I think it's going to be like you got the one statement from Jeannie Buss, but I don't think there's going to be a big media tour to denounce this. The more that they
honestly, like, they shouldn't. There's a reason the Streisand effect is a thing. Like, you know,
yeah.
The more you deny something, the more it just puts it out there in the news. Like the strategy now is you say nothing and it'll blow
up. I mean, like, look at the response you and I had to the statement, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if I were the Lakers, I'd be like, all right, that didn't go well either. Let's just stop, you know? But no, I look, here's, I hope I don't get aggregated for this, but I will. We'll see. Fingers crossed.
Clip it. Start the clips now. Aggregators, mount up.
Yeah. This is not Jen that I'm hanging up on. All right. So to those of you who don't know, I covered the Dodgers very briefly. I ran Dodgers Nation a long time ago. And still have some friends who either, you know, who either, like, you know, work in that, because I covered the Dodgers when they were getting ready to hire Dave Roberts. That was the big story that I was in, you know, that I covered at the time. And, you know, actually, like, covered them, like, in person far more than I've covered the Lakers in person. So, like, built some decent relationships there and stuff like that. Some people who were still over there. And yeah, when I've asked, like, how are things, you know, when I heard about Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and them, like, working with Rob Pelinka, that was like the crossover that I was kind of looking for. Like, all right, how does everybody feel in, you know, the Dodgers organization about the way that the Lakers organization is being run? And what I will say is I don't think Mark Walter and the Dodgers organization are very impressed.
And which would also lend itself to probably not that surprised by a lot of the things in this story, whether they knew about all of them or not. Like, again, like, none of the, I didn't see any of this and I'm like, damn, that's really out of character. I can't see the figures involved doing something like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So Roz just asked us in Slack, who's Count Dooku? And he spelled it duck initially.
Apparently someone who had some points, Raj. I don't know. Watch Clone Wars and get back to us.
Yeah. All right. Bashir Jama 7203, accountability coming from the Raw Protector. I mean, that's the thing, right?
Oh, Harrison? I thought that, like, was directed at one of us. I was like, wait, which one of us is the Raw Protector?
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, it's just like with Jeannie's statement to Amick, right? Like, it falls on deaf ears when you realize that, like, the way that they treated LeBron is the way that they treated LeBron. And you can, you know, Jeannie can say how she cares so much about running the Lakers in a way that would make her dad proud. But, like, I don't think her dad would be all that proud about how the Lakers have been run since he died. Like, I don't, like.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, you never, I parents have taken pride in a lot worse outputs by their children. So I would hesitate to go that far. You know, because it's like, you're a parent, you would know this better than I would. Like, if Avery brought, like, you know, if Avery, like, again, like, to reuse the grill analogy, like, set your kitchen on fire, you would have been like, well, but she was showing a lot of initiative and, like, trying to cook dinner for Miles. Like, that's pretty good.
No, I'm not, like, because here's how it would go. I think there would be moments that, like, Dr. Buss would be insanely proud of, right? Like the moment that, well, like the moment that LeBron signed. Right.
Yeah.
That'd have been something that, like, Dr. Buss would have been incredibly proud of. The moment that they won that championship, you know, given the season and the year that they and we all had right at the time, that's something that, like, the father would be like, damn, that was fucking awesome. But it's a funny thing because, like, the prouder that you get, and I'm just speaking for myself as a dad, I'm not speaking for anybody else, but just for me as a dad, the better that Avery becomes, meaning, like, you know, she treats people incredibly well. She's insanely empathetic. She's works really hard in school. Her teachers all love her. She tries really hard in soccer, and she, you know, she's the smallest kid out there, and it doesn't matter. She's knocked over kids like twice her size. And, like, the higher the highs get, the higher my standards get. It's like, all right, I've seen that you're there. And so, like, when she doesn't live up to those standards, it hurts actually that much more. And so, like, if if I were Dr. Buss in this analogy or this comparison, and I saw the Lakers operate at a level that would convince LeBron to go there in the first place and would win a championship after not getting Kawhi, right? I'd have been like, all right, you guys have shown me that the one time. This is the standard. This is the standard that you guys can live in or can live up to. And they haven't even come close ever since. They have, exactly, Callie.
Yeah, but I think, you know, my only point is that parents can justify a lot of things. Like, they'll see the good and maybe, like, justify the bad. Where it's like, well, you know, the way that a lot of this stuff has gone has been blown out of proportion by the media, and Genie's dealing in a more difficult NBA than I had to win in, and, you know, whatever. Like, he would be proud, you know? Like, I think we can probably say
that. Yeah, I mean, like, there would be some justification for sure. And I wonder how he would handle this LeBron thing. Because eventually he did let, like, Pat Riley and Jerry West leave. So, like, or was he?
I mean, again, not to be morbid, but, like, you know, I don't remember how old he was when he had passed. I would hope for his sake that he was not that involved in the day-to-day operations of the team still, were he still with us.
Well, he was sick for a little while before he passed.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like, he was really kind of going through it. And he, like, stopped coming to games for a while and all that. And, wasn't as involved.
Yeah, he was in the 80 day-to-day when he passed. So I think, and that was in 2013. So I think he probably at, like, 90 plus would not be that involved in the day-to-day operations of the team.
Yeah. R. Jones, LAL, there was a tweet in 2019 that called LBJ washed. He had just been blocked on a game-winning attempt by... What was it? What was the dude's name? Hazonia.
Mario Hazonia. It was Hazonia.
Yeah, Mario Hazonia. And I was like, he looks a little washed taking that shot there. Didn't call him actually washed.
I will never I will never forget that, because I was showing Megan Garcia how to write a recap for Silver Screen and Roll in the college newsroom at the Daily Titan for that game. And so, like, I remember seeing your tweet hit the timeline, you know, and I was just like, oh, I'm going to have to deal with this later. And then now she's won 2 rings with the Dodgers. So, you know.
Wait, what do you mean 1-2 rings with the Dodgers?
Well, she's on their, like, digital content team.
Oh, she is? Oh,
yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Do you think she's called, like, Freddie Freeman washed when he, like...
I think I trained... I was like, I showed her your Twitter feed, and I was like, don't do that. What he's got going on there, opposite.
All right. I will always defend this. I never said LeBron is washed. I said he looks washed. That's a big difference.
I never called you ugly. I said you look ugly.
No, it's not the same.
It's a person, like, somebody who looks washed. You're beautiful. It's what's inside that counts, you know? It's...
All right, here's what I will say in more seriousness about that. I always say that if I am critical of somebody on the Lakers, I hope to be proven wrong. And LeBron has thoroughly proven me wrong on my front.
You weren't wrong. You were just, like, I don't know, like, 7 years too early. Like, because it'll happen next year.
Thing is, like, as of, like, last night, right, he had a dunk where he was looking at the rim again.
That's what I mean. Like, the soonest you can hope for is next year, probably, to be right. But you'll be right at some point. You will be right
one day.
Yeah.
One day.
I mean, just because we didn't really touch on it from the Chiron, like, what was your funniest part of the story that we didn't talk about?
I would probably say the $8 and $24 million bonuses.
It's sensitive and I get it, but, like, I laughed out loud. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that is self-parody.
Yeah. It's just, like, because I saw the numbers and I was like, well, maybe there'll be an explanation that, like, compared to like their annual salaries, and like it actually makes a little bit of sense that like, you know, so and so is paid a little bit more.
What percentage like, of no. Linda's annual salary do you think $24 million
is? I don't know. I don't want to know actually.
More, she's making more than like, LeBron you know, and Luka combined.
But even like the way that Baxter phrased it, right, where he was like 8 and 24 were the figures because of all things. The relationship, like the two jerseys that Kobe wore, because like even Baxter was rolling his eyes when he was writing that part of the article. Like it's just, it's crazy. That is the thing that crazy people do, you know. Grief. What was your favorite? What was your funniest moment?
I mean, you know, again, like I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna miss Janie Buss because she doesn't show up often. But my favorite Buss sibling, just because like she will just show up to these interviews that it, like it's not always clear she knew the person was recording. Like she's so candid, and like I'm just gonna miss like her input on these things where she's dropping stuff like, you know, like I can't imagine Jeannie said that to him, but she does have a point.
Yeah. I forgot this. Here's an excerpt that I found really, really funny. Quote, at the news conference, Jesse and Joey sat up front as Pelinka took the microphone. This is after the Lakers had traded for Anthony Davis. At the news conference, Jesse and Joey sat up front as Pelinka took the microphone and welcomed reporters. First, he thanked Jeannie, whom he called, quote, the strongest and most wise leader that I've ever been around in my life. he thanked Linda Rambis, Jeannie's longtime confidant and the Lakers' executive director of special projects. He thanked Kurt Rambis, a senior basketball advisor for the Lakers. He thanked Tim Harris.
For him to thank.
Rob Pelinka, man. He knows how to stay employed. He thanked Tim Harris, the team's president of business operations. He thanked Davis's agent at Clutch Sports. The Pelicans management and the players the Lakers had traded away. Do you think when he, like, I got to go back and replay that. I want to know, like, if when, like, when he thanked Rich, if, like, Jeannie was in the back going, like,
probably not yet.
Not yet. My bad.
Like,
my
if
bad.
She had, if she could use her money to buy a time machine, it would just be to go back to that day and make raspberries while Rob was.
But it gets funnier, though. Pelinka also mentioned Johnny, an older Buss sibling. Quote, I had lunch about 3 months ago with Johnny Buss. It was a special moment, Pelinka told the assembled media. He had called me out of the blue to get together and just shared a whole bunch of things about the pillars of the Buss family and what the Lakers franchise stand for. And that was a key moment for me in getting to today as well. So I wanted to thank him, end quote.
I was at this press conference. I completely forgot about this moment. I think I was like so focused on getting ready to like ask my question that I actually don't think I got called on, but like I was like so like locked in. I was like, okay, I gotta make sure that I'm paying attention to everything so that I'm ready for follow-up. I just glazed over this story entirely.
Well, at that time also it was like, oh, you mentioned a Buss sibling. Okay. Like we didn't row. Like,
that's probably one of the ones in the front row. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. We didn't really know that like Johnny wasn't involved really. Right. So this was a while ago, but anyway, so the reference struck Jesse and Joey is odd. People familiar with the event say, given the coup that Johnny had attempted with Jim just 2 years.
Hey, look, Rob just respects a good coup enthusiast, okay? He, you know, like... Oh, man, I will say...
Just you and Joey sitting there like, who?
I am gonna miss Rob Lowe when he's gone. Like, you know, it's just, like...
Unbelievable. It was absolutely insane.
He just, again, I wish he just would have gotten like one thing, a press conference where you're like, have you talked to a human being before?
Yeah. No, it's his press conferences are patently absurd. They're crazy.
I love him.
Called Kentavious Caldwell-Pope manna from heaven. And like,
I will always say Rob was kind of cooking with that one because he was really just saying like, we know we're getting LeBron next year. So like,
yeah. All right. I think that's going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge. This is fun. I enjoyed Finn. Thank you for reminding me of the funniest parts of the story. That part needed to be brought up again.
I just like,
I was hoping that we would find out that like Jeannie and Rob have kind of sort of tanked after LeBron got his one championship because they didn't want him to pass up Kobe. Like, well, that's what I was hoping to find out.
Conversations private. But I will say, like, you know, I was finding myself thinking, I was like kind of wistful, like reading all this. I'm like, I'm going to miss these days. Like now that they're going to have like, you know, like a real organization and like, you know, competent people in positions of power and all of this stuff. And it's like, what are we going to make jokes about? And what are we going to laugh at? And like, I just realized it's going to be so much more fun to make fun of the rest of the league, like Dodgers fans get to do now, and just like make fun of all the other franchises. Than it was to make fun of our own. Like, give us a reason to not bully you. That's what I'm asking for from the Lakers, please.
Yeah, like I'd much prefer like being smug and an asshole about
2020 like, was awesome. We just got to like straight up laugh at Rockets podcasters for thinking they had a chance. It was like, oh man,
eighth seed of all time. Remember those year, have
you? Like, yeah, no, it's over for you guys. Like, congrats on the second round, you know?
Yeah. I made so much money off of the Lakers that year. Every expert was like, well, this could be, how are the Lakers going to match up with Houston's small ball? Turns out they're going to ignore Russell Westbrook altogether. And then they traded for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and then trade for him. Because they're like, well, but no one's going to figure that out without Frank Vogel there.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. All of you who tuned in to, you know, turns out people do actually care about the story. This was fun. The Lakers play tomorrow night. They play on the road, air quotes. And we're still finding out whether or not Raj will be at that game. If he is, then I'll be riding solo. If he's not, then it will be me and Raj breaking down that game. So until then, oh, and then also it's a Pete week. So that'll be a good conversation. The conversation with me and Pete, because Pete was in those doors.
Very excited to hear Pete's take on this. Like, I think the story probably came out too late for them to get to it on LFR pod, and I don't even know it. Like, that's not really what the kind of stuff they get into that much anyway. I haven't listened yet. Maybe they did, but I'm very excited to hear Coach Pete's thoughts on
So that'll be the episode. We'll talk about basketball as well, but that'll be a chunk of the episode of The Hook on Friday. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that subscribe button, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.